Very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in Christ. So we have been studying the sixth volume, the third chapter, The Call of the New Creation. So last week we studied about the subheading called as Who Healeth All the Diseases, page number 145, first paragraph. So we'll continue from there, the same subheading. So Amar brother, can you do the reading of the first paragraph? From many new creatures.
Many new creatures, however, have not learned how to deal with these soul sicknesses or diseases and are rather in rather inclined to say to themselves, I have failed again. I cannot approach the throne of heavenly grace until I have demonstrated to the Lord my good intention by gaining a victory. Thus they defer what should be their very first procedure, seeking in their own strength to gain the victory, and with their minds harassed by their previous weakness, they are in no proper condition to fight a good fight of faith with either their own flesh or the adversary, and defeat is a tolerably sure to come, and within will come a gradual cessation of appealing to the Lord and a growing submission to the intervening clouds with hide from them the sunshine of divine favor. This cloud they gradually come to stand steep, as in their case unavoidable.
Thank you. So last week we saw that how the natural diseases are there. Similarly, there are spiritual diseases for the new creature. So what are these spiritual diseases? If you see, the things which come in our narrow way, which always tends us to draw away from the path of sacrifice. You see, drawing away from the narrow way. So all these temptations which discourage us, which lead us into depreciation, depression, and which leads us away from the Lord, these are all the soul diseases. So sometimes what happens is that because of these trials which Lord permits for our good, sometimes what happens, we will not be able to fight the good fight, you see. So whenever the trial comes, we usually fall. So what happens as soon as we fall? You see, we all have a good heart to please the Lord, you see, and to show a pleasant smile to the Lord, and always willing to show our good intentions to Him, that we are willing to overcome, we are willing to leave all these things which He dislikes. But sometimes during our fight, it happens so that we will not be able to overcome. So once we are not able to overcome, once we lose the fight, the natural tendency is that the discouragement usually comes to us, and we feel ourselves that we are not worthy. I'm not worthy. I can't fight it. So it is useless of fighting again. So these thoughts will generally come. But what has to be done in this case? If you see, the natural flesh which immediately speaks to us is that, okay, now you have fallen down. Now we are not walking, you see, and pleasing to the Lord. So the next thing you have to do is that you have to prove to the Lord. Prove what? Prove to the Lord that you are capable enough to fight. You see, then try to prove to the Lord. You see, you can do all these things and try to fight. You see, but during this attempt of proving ourselves worthy to the Lord, the main thing what we do, you see, is that we lack going to the throne of grace and mercy and put all these things to the, you see, Lord's matter and ask his view, his suggestion in the these matters, what Lord would actually is willing to do. Instead of that one, we will try to put ourselves forward and try to prove to the Lord that, you see, our intention is good. And this is a very dangerous situation. You see, what does our brother say in this volume? You see, it is a very dangerous, you see, situation. It is not favorable either to the, you see, to the new creature, but very awkward situation where the flesh and the adversary, you see, defeat is impossible. It is not sure to come. And once these things keep on piling up one upon the other, trial upon trial, failure upon failure, the natural tendency will become such that instead of going first to the Lord and submitting all these matters to the Lord, you see, we will try to move away from the Lord and try to prove our worthiness. Then we will think, after proving your worthiness, then I'll come to the Lord, you see, and ask for his divine favor. This is a very wrong thing to do. Because once we stop approaching our Lord, asking for more strength, more grace, more mercy, and for forgiveness of sins, what we have already done, without rectifying the error, you see, if we go ahead of our own, the consequences will be definitely a failure. It doesn't work out at all. You see, in the Bible, there was King Saul. You see, you all know very well, no? King Saul was the first king of Israel. Okay. Now, who can tell me Saul was from which tribe? King Saul was from which tribe? King Saul was from which tribe? Romeister, Bunaster, Amar brother. You're all there? Hello?
Yes, brother, we are here.
Okay. Saul was from which tribe?
I think Benjamin.
Very good, sir. See, King Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. See, the Bible tells that, you see, the king who will sit upon the throne of Israel will be from the tribe of Judah. Then why did God select the first king of Israel from the tribe of Benjamin? Okay. Why? Do anybody know the answer? Anybody?
Can you tell us again, brother?
Okay. See, in Israel, the king was supposed to come from the tribe of Judah. Correct, no? Genesis 49:10. The promise
yes.
comes that the Shiloh, the prince of peace, shall come from Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. That means scepter means what? The kingship, authority, kingship, rulership. It will always be from the tribe of Judah. But here, why did God choose the first king from tribe of Benjamin? Later on, David came from the tribe of Judah. But before that one, why did God choose from tribe of Benjamin? Okay, now take it as homework. Next week when you come, let us see. Or else you can, if you can put the answer in the group also, it's okay, good. Okay, we'll see. But there, you see, he was the first king of Israel. You see, what did he do? As a king, he was supposed to fight for the people and obey God, obey God's commandments. You see, and how God is to speak or you see, and guide him. If you see, it was through Prophet Samuel. So anything God wanted to speak or do, he is to speak through Prophet. You see, Samuel. He was a judge of Israel. But when he was supposed to, you see, lead and he became old, that is the time that people of Israel demanded a king, and you see, God gave them a king from tribe of Benjamin, King Saul. Okay. Now there, if you see, God was speaking everything through Prophet Samuel. Once what happens, you see, Samuel tells to Saul, you see, you wait here, you see, I will go and come and we will offer sacrifices to the Lord. You see? And Saul was told to wait 7 days. You see? But Samuel did not turn up, you see, even on the seventh day. But he came on the seventh day or the last, you see, minute before the 7 day was completely over. But before that time, what did King Saul do? What did he do? What was the mistake that Saul did there? You all got my point?
Yes, brother. He didn't wait to the prophet and make sacrifice, brother.
Ah, you see, Samuel clearly told to wait till I come so that we may offer the sacrifice to the Lord. But instead of waiting for Prophet Samuel, you see, once Samuel tells, means it will, you should wait, he will come. But just at the last moment, you see, he could not tolerate his impatience and he sacrificed to the Lord. As he was sacrificing to the Lord, immediately who turned up? You see, Prophet Samuel turned up. What did Samuel tell to King Saul? What happened there? Any idea? Do anybody know the story? Okay. See, it is given in the book of Samuel. Okay. So it comes in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. It comes from chapter. Fifteen. Okay. So, 1 minute. 1 minute. One minute. First Samuel 13:11. First Samuel 13:11. Can somebody read?
And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou comest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash."
Correct. See, so here instead of waiting for Samuel, he offered the sacrifices fearing his enemies. Now see verse 13.
And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever."
You see, thou hast done foolishly. So here, if you see, this was the mistake, first mistake of King Saul. Now, what was the remedy he tried to do? You see, he did not correct himself. You see, there, if you go and see, he did not correct. And God knew that Saul was a very stubborn man and he would never correct himself. So immediately what happened? Saul is pronounced unworthy, and immediately Samuel gives the judgment of God that God will go and look after a man after own heart. But yet, to see his behavior, whether he's changed or not, one more opportunity is given to, you see, Saul. Now, this time, he was supposed to kill all the, you see, Amalekites, male, female, child, you see, woman. Old, young, everybody, even the animals, not even one life-breathing creature was supposed to live there, it seems. But yet, if you see there, that comes in 1 Samuel 15 chapter. But yet, if you see there, you see, Saul doesn't obey the command of God. Okay? Here also, he commits a mistake. You see, after committing the mistake, again, you see, Samuel the prophet pronounces judgment of God upon him. You see, read 1 Samuel 15, 1 Samuel 15, 26.
First Samuel 15, verse 26.
Hmm.
And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel."
Second time, God is repeating the same thing. First time, if you would have obeyed, your throne would have been established forever. And second time, again it says, you see, just because you did not obey, you rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king of Israel. You see, now immediately see what was the reaction of, you see, Saul. First reaction, read verse 25, brother. Verse 24 and 25, brother.
And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord."
That I may worship the Lord. If you go and read the context, you see, from verse 16, the conversation between Samuel and Saul happens there. You see, when Samuel rebuked him, tried to correct him the first time, he did not correct himself. Read verse 13, brother. Verse 13.
Verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord."
First time he says, I have performed the, you see, commandment of the Lord. Now, verse 15, what does he say? Second time, verse 15, see with that.
And Saul said,
And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites from for the people is spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed."
The second time he says, I have retained these animals. Why? To offer this as sacrifice to the Lord. Okay? Now, see verse 19. See, here each and every incident, God is trying to correct Saul, but he's not getting himself corrected at all. Now, read verse 19, brother.
Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?
Here again, Samuel tells you have done, you see, wrong. You have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Continue. And then what is the reply of Saul? Verse 20.
And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord,
See,
and have gone the
he tells, no, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Then Samuel had to convince him the third time. You see, even after 12, it doesn't convince her. You see, then it says, you see, I feared the people. He gives some lame excuses and all. Then, when Samuel tells that God has rejected you, then you see the reaction of Saul. Verse 27 and verse 28, brother.
And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rained. And Samuel's
See, he took hold of the, you see, cloth of Samuel, but Samuel did not care at all that you see that robe he was wearing, it tore away. So Samuel said, as you have torn my clothes, similarly God will rend your kingdom and divide it. See, even then, he's not willing to, you see, completely surrender to the Lord. Now, what does he say? Verse 30. Read verse 30.
Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God.
You see? Now, what does he say? Come. I have sinned, okay, but come and honor me before all the people. This, all the things are okay. I will all take care of this later. But lest first, the thing you do is that you honor me, respect me before everybody, so that the people may still have that belief that I have done a correct thing. Now, why this incident was mentioned here? Why incident I'm relating to this paragraph is that you see some things. See, you see, as a new creature, when you're walking in the narrow walk of life, we commit, you see, some. You see, mistakes or some sin because of our, you see, weaknesses, which draws away from the Lord. You see, which makes us to fall from the grace of the Lord. You see, we are not, everybody are not overcomers at the first chance. You see, everybody can't overcome at the first incident itself. It takes a lot of efforts. First time we'll fall, second time we'll get up, again we'll fall, again we'll get up. You see, but, the fall, how much time it takes to fall, you see, that has to increase as the days goes on. But as we are getting back and coming to the Lord, the first thing is that, you see, accept our mistakes to the Lord. And first is do is that, surrender to the Lord. You see, here in the paragraph, Brother Russell clearly says that, you see, they realize their mistake, but they don't correct it in the way you see, the Lord wants them to correct. They leave the Lord. They want to do it in their own fashion. You see, and try to prove something to God that they're much better. Here, King Saul did the same thing. Each and every mistake, you see, upon lot of, you see, efforts and lot of convincing has to be done, that he has to understand that he has committed, you see, wrong. And instead of correcting himself, you see, he's trying to compromise in some other way. Okay, now what is the solution for this incident? You see, what is the solution in that case, sir? You see, we all have that feeling, you know, sometimes when we are fallen, you see, because of not able to overcome, we definitely get discouraged. I mean, naturally, that thought comes to our mind that I need to prove to the Lord that I am worthy. You see, try to prove, try to get his acceptance, try to get his favor, try to do something so that I can capture his favor. Now, what is the solution? What does brother say? It's beautifully given in next paragraph. Okay. Munasta, can you read?
Okay, brother. The very opposite course should be pursued as soon as the error of word or act or deed has been recognized and the injury to another made good as far as possible. The throne of grace should be promptly sought in faith, nothing doubting. We are not to think of our Lord as we seem to find occasion against us and as inclined to judge us harshly, but are on the other hand to remember that His goodness and mercy are such that He was prompted to provide for redemption while we were yet sinners. Surely, after we have become his children and have been begotten of the Spirit and are seeking, however stumbling may be our best effort, to walk in his ways after the Spirit, not after the flesh, under such circumstance, his love must abound to us yet more than when we were children of wrath, even as others. We are to remember that, like as a proper earthly father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those that reverence him. We are to consider our best earthly friends and their sympathy and love and compassion, and are to draw an analogy and to consider that God would be much more kind and faithful than the very best of his creatures. He invites such faith, such confidence, and he rewards it. All who had faith enough to come to the Lord originally have faith enough to come to him day by day with their trials, difficulties, and shortcomings if they will. If they suffer the clouds to come between and decline the invitation of the word to come to the throne of grace for peace and restore harmony, they will ultimately be counted unworthy a place amongst the special class whom the Lord is selecting. The Father seeketh such to worship him, such as both love and trust him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. John 4:23, Hebrews 11:6, 1 John 5:4.
Very good, sir. Thank you. See, the first point here, brother says that the very opposite course should be pursued. You see, the very opposite course should be pursued. Not leaving the Lord, not trying to do, you see, our own self and try to please the Lord. The first thing we need to do is that come boldly to the throne of grace. You see, and never think that God is always. You see, fault finding, always seeking mistakes. You see, no. What does the Bible say? When did God love us? Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When did God love us? God did not love us, you see, thinking that someday some people will turn to him. No. We were all sinners. When we were all sinners, he said, that is the time that God loved us. You see, when Adam committed sin, God made a beautiful promise, then cast them out of the Garden of Eden. You see, yet God is faithful. You see, he gives rain and sunshine to both. So God is faithful. He is never unfaithful. He is having mercy upon everybody. You see, so similarly, we should think, if God has done so many things when we were ungodly, when we were sinners, now that we are turned away from all these evil things and trying to walk in the narrow walk of life, will God not forgive us? He will definitely forgive us. Why? Because the whole world are walking away from God. In such a condition, just a few people have turned back from this evil way and trying to walk in the path of God. That too, which condition? In this evil world. If they're trying to walk in God's path in this evil world, you see, will God not appreciate it? Yes, God would appreciate it. God also knows that just because we have fallen and degraded in sin, we won't be able to, you see, change ourselves immediately. See, last week we discussed about the example of Gurkha, Nepali Gurkhas. You see, why they are world famous? Why there are no other people in no other part of this world like them? Of course not. Why? Because that is there in their DNA. Similarly, the whole world of mankind, in their DNA is what? Is sin. Fighting against this sinful character and trying to walk in the path of God, God appreciates us. You know how much he appreciates us? Let us read that one verse. Psalm 103. See, this paragraph, this subheading is based on Psalm 103, no? But in the same, that Psalm 103, see, what does God say? Verse 13 and 14. Psalm 103, 13 and 14. Grow Minister, you can read.
Yes, brother. Like as a father beateth his children, so the Lord
Pitieth them.
beateth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust.
See, he remembers that we are dust. You see, as a father pitieth a children. You see, how does the parents show pity, show mercy, show love to the children? You see, when any mistake is done by the children, will the father or mother beat them nicely, take revenge? You see, will they tell, no, you go prove your faithfulness and come, then only you enter the house, get out of the house? Will they catch them? No. Even if they don't study well, even if they don't fare well in exams, you know, the parents will always be there to encourage them. There's always a next chance. You can do better next time. You see, past is past. You see, encourage them to go ahead. Same way as a father pitieth children, similarly, God shows mercy and pity upon us, it seems. Verse 14, what does he say? He knows our frame, our limitations, that we are dust. What is this frame? That means there's a boundary for us. You see, as human beings, we have a boundary. What is that boundary? The earth is our boundary. Can we leave this earth and go to some other place? No. That is our limitation. That is our frame. So in this frame, you see, what is there in our human being? What is there? Read Genesis 1. Somebody read Genesis 1, 26. Read 28. Genesis 1, 28. Anybody can read?
Just 128. And God blessed them And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have a dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living things that moveth upon the earth.
See, man was created for this purpose. That means what? What is there in him? You see, these things are there in. What is this one? First thing, be fruitful and multiply. Fruitful and multiply means what? What do you mean by fruitful and multiply? Tell me, what do you mean by fruitful and multiply?
Grow in numbers, brother.
Correct. Growing number, that means what? Marriage. You're getting married? Good, fine. You go get married. So this is, you see, one of the fleshly things which God has kept naturally in our body. We can't go against it. First thing. Next, what does he say? Replenish the earth. Subdue it. That means what? Replenish the earth means develop. Develop the earth. Subdue the earth means what? Bring the earth into control. Bring it into your subjection. That means what? This signifies various types of business you do to bring the earth into your capacity, into your control. You start ruling over the earth. You see, for you, for us, which is earth? Not the entire earth. Our house, our site, our area where we're doing the agriculture, the place where we work, these are all the things. This is there naturally inside us. Next point. What does he say? You see, have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That is what? You try to dominate, rule over all the things on the earth. That means all the blessings of the earth will be there in your mind. That means you are supposed to be retained, your mind is supposed to be fixed only to the earth. Now imagine, you see, this is our frame, earth. To leave this frame and come out of this frame, and get, you see, moving towards the heavenly frame, is it easy? No. You see, first, what did you see? Marriage. Can we leave marriage and, you see, live for the Lord? No, that's not possible. Second, have dominion over the earth. Can we leave our daily earning, you see, daily work and do complete, leave everything, you see, for the Lord? That is also not possible. You see? So these are the natural things that are kept in the human being. This is also there in us as new creatures. God knows that this is our frame. You can't completely quit off all these things and come to the Lord. It will take time. As a father pitieth the children. Understood? How we are showing love to Lulia. Remember, she used to walk perfectly, as soon as she was born? No. Probably it would have taken 1.5 years. She would have crawled, did lot of mistakes. You see, lot of things she would do to hurt herself without our knowledge. You see? Sometimes you would get irritated, but slowly she will learn to walk properly, then run. So as the days go by, you'll start appreciating. She will learn from the mistakes. This is what God is seeing in us. You see, our frame is this earth. To leave from this frame and to come to the heavenly salvation, it is not so easy. We will come back attracted. You know the best example? We are all rusted iron, you see. And Earth, this globe, is a natural magnet, you know. What does iron and magnet. What does it happen when iron and magnet come together? What does it happen? Does it repel each other or attract each other?
Attract.
Attract each other.
Attract. You see, you just keep iron very close to the magnet, that is sufficient, automatically get attached. They're all such type of very iron. You see, the earth, the globe is a natural magnet. See, we are made to cling to this earth. We are not made to go away from this. Hence, gravitation force is also there now. To leave all this force, overcome all this force. You see, leave all this attraction and try to live a godly life. It's not so easy. So, first thing we need to do is in this matter is that seek the throne of grace. You see, first thing, surrender to the Lord. You see, and everything, God is seeking opportunity to find fault in us. He knows very well it is not possible from human beings. See, Jesus kept quiet before Pilate. You see, Pilate and Sanhedrin, everybody was scolding. Imagine how much terrible tension will be for Jesus. But Jesus did not open his mouth at all. You see, but anybody would have been in his place. What would have happened? They would have started speaking. You see, they would have started to shout. Why are you kicking me? Why are you hitting me? No, these are all false witnesses. These are all lies. This is all not truth. I never did like that. I never did like this. You see, argument, a big argument would go on. You see, but Jesus kept quiet. Where did he get this maturity? If you see, that is God's grace, because he surrendered himself to the Lord. He knew that each and everything that happens in his life is monitored by God. Today's manna, you know, you read the manna, beautiful manna. You see, the heavens declare thy glory. You see, what is the explanation? Each and every star are monitored by God. You see, none of them miss their track. That means what? God has kept everything to walk it in their frame. You see, so if God, our great creator, you see, is monitoring this mighty entire universe, you see, then can anything happen in our life? What does the paragraph say? He is very wise to err. That means he's so wise, there is no chance of making a mistake at all. So, dear brethren, the first thing we need to think that if something happens, we should not lose our faith. We should not lose our confidence, because this has a great reward. This is a test for us. What we are doing in these things, as a natural man, we try to prove ourselves worthiness to the Lord. Or as a spiritual man, will we surrender to the Lord? The first thing you see we need to do is that surrender to the Lord. You see, fall prostrate before him, surrender to him. You see, what does the Bible say? Here verses is given now, John 4, 23, 24. You see, Father seeks such as worship him in truth and spirit. What does it mean by truth? Understanding of the scriptures. Spirit means what? In that holy mind. Understanding the scriptures. You see, and implementing in our life, practically applying that in our life, that is the spirit of the truth. You see, whatever the Bible says, try to practically implement in our life. You see, so try. Try, though you fall, keep on trying. Never get discouraged. Never leave the Lord and go and fight alone. But first, trust in His grace, trust in His mercy that is always there to help us, you see, and come and fight. Hebrews, see, 41 minute. I think 415. Hebrews 4:16. Somebody read.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
See, let us come therefore boldly to where? Throne of grace. What is the throne of grace? You see, this is actually speaking about the mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant was there, no? You see, upon that one, that's called as a mercy seat. Why it was called as a mercy seat? Mercy. The seat of mercy, the throne of mercy. Why? Because if just a drop of blood was sprinkled, the entire people of Israel's sins were forgiven. What grace, no? What mercy? One drop of blood? That's so much power. Lakhs and lakhs of people of Israel's sins were forgiven for a year in advance. Imagine, 1 year sins in advance is forgiven means what power? You see, and the high priest could not go boldly. Huh? Can you go boldly, take the blood and go and pour it and come? How the high priest has to go to the most holy? When should he go? Can he go daily? Can he go monthly? Can he go weekly? Can the high priest go to the most holy daily?
No.
Okay, when should he go?
Once a year.
Once a year, very good. So, can you go boldly, take the bowl, pinch of blood, go boldly and pour it and come? How should he go?
No. No.
Okay, how should he go? And how should he be?
With humble.
Humble spirit, mind. He should be very humble, but thoughts and all, if he has got wrong thoughts, is it okay, sister?
No, brother.
Holiness, humble and holy. Just imagine, these two conditions were very important so that he should not die. But for us, what does God say? We have sinned, come boldly. For him, if you sin, that's it. But for us, you have sinned, no problem, come boldly. Don't fear. Death was coming upon them, but for you, no death will come. Come boldly. Come boldly. When you want to come? Yearly once? For the new year or the Passover? No, come daily. Come at every time of need. No time, no fixed time. Every time you're gone 1 second before, Lord, I want to come again. Oh, come. The door is always open. No, never closed. Such faith. A new creature should have. Lord, I have fallen. Lord, I could not do your will. Lord, I lost my temper. Lord, I lost my patience today. Lord, I did something which are, you see, not pleasing to you. Nobody saw it, Lord, but everything was there in my heart. You see, Lord, you knew it and you know it. You see, I can't hide this from human beings, but I can't hide from you, Lord. You know it. Lord, create in me a new heart. Create a new spirit within me, Lord. You see, this attitude should be there in God's children. You know, these are the signs of new creation. Humble, surrendering spirit. You see, completely submitting to the Lord in trials. You see, this is the very, very thing which God sees in his new creation. You see, James, book of James, first chapter, verse 12. James 1:12.
James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him.
See, blessed is the man that endures temptation, not get, you see, discouraged in temptations, not get, you see, frustrated in temptations, and leave the Lord. You see, but bear it. Patiently bear it. How much they can do? How much will the world torture us? You see, how much will that experience be with us? Not forever and ever. It will be there just for a few moments. The Lord will take away. See, Jesus was crucified. You see, from evening after the Passover, probably around 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, since then till morning, almost 12 hours, almost 12 hours. You see, he was completely tortured. Whatever was possible from human beings, they did it. But beyond that one, you see, even if they wanted to do, they never had the opportunity. God closed the door. Once he was on the cross, that's finished. Nobody could even touch him. They could only, you see, speak to him from far, you see. But nobody could touch him. See, God gave that wonderful protection to Christ. But what did Jesus do? Jesus bear all these things. Blessed is the man that endure temptation when he is tried. When he is tested, that is meaning of tried. When he is tested, what will happen? He shall receive the crown of life. This is the test. So, how do we fight all these things? You see? How do we fight it? Faith. What is faith? What is the definition of faith as per the Bible? As per the Bible, what is the meaning of faith?
Believing on things we never seen.
Believing the things which we never see. Believing the invisible. Believing that the invisible Lord is there. His hand is always over us. Believing the Lord. You see, that without our Father's permission, not even a hair will fall down. That is faith. Faith where we cannot trace God, yet trust in Him. Faith where we can't see God, yet see Him very clearly. That is faith. You see, faith, you see, when all the roads are blocked. Faith when there is no road, no path, nothing is there. Still have faith and walk ahead in it. That is faith. We can't see, nothing is there to see. You see, but yet, trust in Him that He will definitely do it for our good. It is for our welfare. One brother has written this point. I'll share this one to you. Regarding faith, he gives his example. You know, we all have traveled by aircraft. You see, we all travel on the road also. If we need to go to one destination, we will always move on the road. Correct? One track is there, one road is there, we'll move on the road and we reach our destination. What about an aircraft? Is there any road in the sky? Is there any road? Left, right, straight, up, down, any road is there? Any board is there in between? Oh, from Bombay to Delhi, oh, so many kilometers. No, take left, no, take right. Any sign is there in the sky? Once the plane is taken off, is there any signboard, any milestone in the sky?
No, brother.
No, nothing is there. But still, you see, that pilot takes the plane very fastly. You know, it travels at the speed of 1,000 kilometers per hour, it seems. 1,000 kilometers. Ooh, very so fast. You know, how does it travel? As if he knows the path very clearly. Oh, this is the road. Go, go, go. Such a speed he'll go. You know, whom he'll trust? He doesn't trust of anything. He trusts the sensors there. He trusts the radars. He trusts the tower that is below, which is guiding them. This is the path you should go. Take left, take right. Small deviation here, there, and all. That is faith. Worldly people, without seeing any of those things, have faith means how much our faith should be there upon the eternal one who controls each and every stars. You see, each and every things of this universe. So we should have faith on the Lord. Differently, He would never leave us nor forsake us. That promise He has given us means He will do something good for us. Okay, that faith we should have. Not that Lord is always seeking some excuses, always giving us trials which we can't bear, which is very tough for me to bear. You see, take all these things to the matter, you see, in prayer to the Lord. One more verse, 1 John 5:4. See, 1 John 5:4.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
See, this is the victory that overcometh the world. That is our frame. Genesis 1:28, our frame, the world. We are in that frame. If you need to overcome that frame and come out of the frame, you see, and be fit for the heavenly salvation, we should be having faith. Peter. Lord was coming upon the water. You see, Lord was not sinking at all. Peter saw, Lord, are you? It is you. Is it you? Yes, it is me. Are you walking upon water? Yes, if you have faith, you can also do it. Okay, then give me command that I may walk upon the water. See the boldness of Peter. He put his leg upon the sea. Immediately began to walk. Imagine, so faith. You see, who will do it? Will you go and put your leg up on the swimming pool that you won't sink? I mean, trust on the Lord. Nobody will do it. You see? But Peter had so much of faith. You see? But when he doubted, then only it began to sink. So we should have faith on the Lord that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always show mercy, grace, help in every time of need to fight, to overcome. He will be with us. You see? Okay. So for this problem, what is the problem? That if we fall, you see, we should never think in our mind that God is seeking excuses to punish us. But rather, we should get up, approach the throne of God and ask strength. And Lord will definitely give us strength. Next time the same trial will come. But this time, we will be having experience with us. And the Lord with us. And we will be able to fight against it. Okay. The next paragraph. Next paragraph. Who will read? Gopal, brother?
Okay, brother.
Page 147.
Yes, brother. There are of course difficulties in the way, but the helpers and counsels necessary the Lord provides. But in His word and in those brethren whom He sets in the body for this very purpose, 1 Corinthians 12:18, it is a help. For instance, to see just wherein lies the error of the course alluded to see that in putting off our visit to the throne of grace to obtain mercy until we can bring something in our hands to justify ourselves is to show that we do not fully appreciate the great lesson which for centuries God has been teaching, namely that we are all imperfect and that we cannot do the things we would. Therefore, it was necessary that the Redeemer should come
for the purpose of lifting us up. He who goes about to justify himself attempts the impossible, and the sooner he learns it, the better. Our reckonings with the Lord should be day by day, and if the difficulty be considerable or only a light one, and the heart of the consecrated one is very tender and accustomed to continual communion and fellowship with the Lord, he will find a blessing in retiring to the throne of grace promptly as soon as any difficulty arises, waiting not even for the close of the day. But certainly nothing should be carried overnight when the throne of grace is open to us at all times. To neglect it would be to sow a disposition contrary to that which the Lord's word inculcates.
Thank you. So here our brother says God would keep certain members in bodies, in the body of Christ, who are there to do this thing, it seems. You know, when in question book, when brother is asked about a question about the monitoring of the ecclesia, you see, if nobody is there in the ecclesia, how will who will manage the ecclesia? But God, but the brother Russell says that God would somehow raise a person, you see, in the ecclesia where his sheep are fed properly, it seems. Though it be a very smallest of the ecclesia or a very largest of the ecclesia, God would definitely monitor it. So similarly, for to encourage, to help the brethren, to fight all these things, God has kept different members in the body. You know, there is one hormone in our body that is called as an emergency hormone. Do you know which is that hormone? One hormone is there in the body. In case of emergency, that will immediately release that hormone in the blood. Which is that hormone? Any idea? You have any idea or not? Any guess is there? Any thought?
No idea, brother.
Okay. So one hormone is called as adrenaline. Okay? That is called as a emergency hormone. What is this emergency hormone? You see, when suddenly something's happened, you see, naturally we don't have that capacity to handle it. You see, immediately, suddenly we'll be going, we miss the accident by chance. You see, immediately what will happen? Immediately our heart will start pumping, sweat will come, immediately we'll get tension. Sometimes we'll fall in that accident. You see, our what will happen? Bone will broke, yeah? Or else something harm would have happened to us. How do we handle all these things? Suddenly, God has kept this hormone in our body that it will keep on monitoring it seems. Any undue event, immediately this will be released into the body seems. So what will happen? We will be able to adjust to the situation it seems. Naturally, that means what? Like for example, imagine if you fall, okay, and our bone is broken, fractured happen. What will happen? Will we start screaming loudly? Oh, no. We'll cry. We'll express our pain. But because of this hormone, it will help us to sustain that pain and relax our mind and give the strength to our mind systems to tackle the situation. It will cope up our mind. Or else our BP will shoot and heart, you see, and various things and all will get failure. So similarly, you know, you see, God has kept some brothers and sisters in this body of Christ who are there to encourage the brethren, who are there to support the brethren who have fallen and to sustain them back to the truth. You see, therefore, you see, the first thing we need to do is that in our imperfect condition, we should just first come to the Redeemer. You see, and to the throne of grace promptly. You see, and seeking mercy out of a pure heart. You see, and Lord would definitely, you see, give us mercy. And we should pray immediately. A beautiful point is given there. Generally, how do we pray? As soon as we get up in the morning, we'll say good morning to the Lord. We have a morning prayer. And the next thing we pray is that only at the end of the day when we're going to bed. That's all fine. Okay, no problem. But actually, a new creature, when he should be in attitude of prayer, is that whenever he falls, whenever he sees the threat, you see, as the adrenal hormone springs up in our body, immediately our mind should go to the Lord in prayer. Immediately we should ask, Lord, this is the situation. Please give me the grace to handle. Give me that adrenaline. You see, how to handle, how to tackle this situation, how to behave myself, Lord. I don't want to bring disgrace to you, Lord. I don't want to bring a bad name to you. Lord, help me. But definitely, Lord will always release this grace, release this hormone in our life so that we may get the strength and grace and mercy to stand. So, this all depends upon our faith in the Lord. This will all work upon only one condition, that our Lord is there and he would definitely give us strength to overcome. So, for all these things, word of God should be there in our heart. If word of God is not there in these emergency conditions, none of the thoughts of God's word will come to our mind. Immediately the thing will come to that our mind is that, oh, this person said like this, oh, this person said like this, oh, I handled this one like this one in the world. Now I should do the same thing in the Lord. No, instructions should come from the Bible. The word of God should correct us. The word of God should always be our monitoring equipment. That is our thermometer. That is our stethoscope. He should tell us where we are, how we should be, what all things we need to do. It is only completely based, should be based upon the scriptures. Though it may be opposite to our thoughts, yet if we surrender because of what the Bible says, God will definitely do for our good. He will uplift us. Okay? So we'll stop here. Next week we'll continue. Any doubts, any questions? Any doubts, any questions?
No questions, brother.
No, brother.
Okay. You're all able to understand my English? You're all able to follow it?
Yes, brother.
Yes, brother.
Okay. Thank you. Good. Okay. Okay. So we'll end with a word of prayer. So ending prayer, who will be doing?